unnoticed by people in the outside world, but not by those who live with the obsessive-compulsive person. The hallmarks of this disorder are obsessions, recurrent, disgusting, or frightening thoughts, or compulsions, behaviors that a person knows make no sense but feels compelled to do anyway. The obsessive thoughts are usually senseless and repugnant. They may involve repetitive thoughts of violence, such as killing one's child, contamination, such as becoming infected by shaking hands, or doubt, such as having hurt someone in a traffic accident, even though no such accident occurred. The more a person tries to control the thoughts, the more powerful they become. The most common compulsions involve hand-washing, counting, checking, and touching. These behaviors are often performed according to certain rules in a very strict or rigid manner. For example, a person with a counting compulsion may feel the need to count every crack on the pavement on the way to work or school. What would be a 5-minute walk for most people could turn into a 3 or 4 hour trip for a person with obsessive compulsive disorder. A part of the individual generally recognizes the senselessness of the behavior and doesn't get pleasure from carrying it out, although doing it often provides a release of tension. The intensity of OCD varies widely. Some people have mild versions where, for example, they have to make the house perfect before they go on vacation, or they spend the vacation worrying about the condition of the house. The more serious forms can cause a person to be housebound for years. I once treated an 83-year-old woman who had obsessive sexual thoughts that made her feel dirty inside. It got to the point where she would lock all her doors, draw the shades, turn off the lights, take the phone off the hook, and sit in the middle of a dark room trying to stop the abhorrent sexual thoughts as they came into her mind. Her life became paralyzed by this behavior, and she needed to be hospitalized. Research has shown a biological pattern associated with OCD. Brain spec studies have shown increased blood flow in the ACG, along with increased activity in the basal ganglia. There are currently a number of medications that have shown some effectiveness with OCD, including clomipramine, anafrenil, fluoxetine, Prozac, sertraline, Zoloft, paroxetine, Paxil, fluvoxamine, Luvox, citalopram, Celexa, and escitalopram, Lexapro. I often try serotonin supplements such as 5-HTP. In addition, behavior therapy is often helpful, especially exposure therapy, where a patient is gradually exposed to the situations most likely to bring out the rituals and habits. The therapist teaches the patient thought-stopping techniques and strongly encourages him or her to face his or her worst fear, for example, by persuading a patient with fear of dirt or contamination to play in the mud. OCD spectrum disorders. There is a group of disorders that has been recently labeled obsessive-compulsive spectrum disorders. People with these disorders get stuck on unwanted, repetitive thoughts and cannot get them out of their minds unless they act in a specific manner. According to the psychiatrist Ronald Pies, postulated OCD spectrum disorders include trichotillomania, pulling out one's own hair, onychophagia, nail biting, Tourette syndrome, involuntary motor and vocal tics, kleptomania, body dysmorphic disorder, feeling that a part of the body is excessively ugly, hypochondria, autism, compulsive shopping, pathological gambling, chronic pain, addictive disorders, and eating disorders. I would also add oppositional defiant disorder. A sample of repetitive thoughts that significantly interfere with behavior might include chronic pain, I hurt, I hurt, I hurt. Eating disorders such as anorexia and bulimia, I'm too fat, I'm too fat, I'm too fat, despite rational evidence to the contrary. Addictive disorders, I need a drink, I need a drink. Pathological gambling, next time I'll win, next time I'll win, next time I'll win. Compulsive shopping, I need to buy this one thing, I need to buy this one thing, I need to buy this one thing. Oppositional defiant disorder, no I won't, no I won't, you can't make me. In 1991, Susan Sweeto, MD, at the National Institute of Mental Health in Bethesda, Maryland, hypothesized that patients with trichotillomania would exhibit the same brain imaging as those with OCD. At rest, these patients exhibited a different brain pattern. Yet, when these patients were treated with the anti-obsessive antidepressant clomipramine, anafrenil, there was decreased activity in the cingulate aspect of the frontal lobes, which has also been found with successful treatment of OCD. Dr. Sweeto was also the first person to describe PANDAS, pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep syndrome, an OCD-like pattern associated with bacterial strep infections that also causes increased anterior cingulate and basal ganglia activity. Jason, age 10, was a happy boy. One day, after he had a sore throat for a week, he suddenly developed tics and compulsive behaviors. He checked locks repeatedly and started washing his hands. These were brand new behaviors. Very concerned, his parents had taken him to see several therapists and psychiatrists before coming to Amen Clinics. His SPECT scan showed marked increased ACG and basal ganglia activity. Knowing about Dr. Sweeto's work, I ordered a blood test to look for strep titers, and his were very high. On an antibiotic and probiotic, his behavior went back to his pre-infectious state. Here are several other examples from my own practice to illustrate OCD spectrum disorders. Chronic pain. Sam. I met Sam, 38, after a suicide attempt. He was a police officer who had been in chronic pain after 3 car accidents. Desperate for relief, he had endured 6 back surgeries to little avail. Sam was essentially bedridden and about to lose his family because all he could think about was the pain. His SPECT revealed marked overactivity in the ACG, which to me indicated very low serotonin levels. His 4 circles plan included biological, 200 milligrams of 5-HTP, as well as inositol, a natural supplement found to be helpful for some cases of OCD and anxiety. He also began acupuncture, which has been shown to be helpful for pain, psychological, hypnosis to help with pain, social, family therapy to help Sam get reconnected with his loved ones, spiritual, focus on a deep sense of purpose for his life. After a month, Sam reported that his back still hurt, but he was much less focused on the pain. He was able to get out of bed and start back to school to train for a different line of work. Eating disorders. Leslie. 20-year-old Leslie suffered from bulimia for 3 years. She had gotten to the point where she was using laxatives several times a day in increasing doses along with exercising for 2 to 3 hours daily. Her binges were also becoming more frequent. By the time she sought treatment, she felt totally out of control. During her initial evaluation, she said she knew her behavior was abnormal and she hated it. However, when she got the urge to eat, she felt she had to give in to it, and afterward, she could not get the thoughts of being overweight out of her head. She had a maternal aunt who had been diagnosed with obsessive-compulsive disorder. Leslie's brain spec study revealed increased activity in the ACG, along with increased activity in her right basal ganglia. With this information, I developed a Four Circles treatment plan for her. Biological, fluoxetine, Prozac to boost serotonin. A smart carbohydrate diet. This would help her blood sugar remain steady. Low blood sugar and bulimics often triggers relapse. And exercise limited to 30 minutes a day. Psychological, aunt therapy to decrease self-loathing. Social, group therapy for social support. Spiritual, help Leslie develop a deep sense of meaning and purpose. Over the next 3 months, she improved markedly to the point where she was eating normally, not taking laxatives at all, and exercising less than an hour a day. Today I would have started her on 5-HTP and inositol. If that didn't work, I would consider an SSRI, like fluoxetine. Drug or alcohol addiction. The stoned mouse story. Recently, I saw a 21-year-old man named Jeff who smoked a lot of pot. Jeff suffered with anxiety and depression, had a suicide attempt last year, obesity, and was failing in college. He came into my office hoping I would write him a prescription for medical marijuana. His brain spec scan showed dramatic overactivity in the ACG. I told him it was like he had a little mouse on an exercise wheel in his brain, and the mouse could never get off. The mouse was tired and couldn't sleep, and so he yelled and screamed at Jeff so that he couldn't sleep either. Jeff's thoughts were constantly running like the mouse. In fact, Jeff had to get the mouse stoned in order to calm down the little guy. As I talked to Jeff about the mouse, he nodded his head, understanding. Jeff was always worrying, overthinking, and holding grudges. He used marijuana to calm his worry and help him sleep. I told Jeff there was a better way. He didn't have to kill the mouse, as he tried to do with the suicide attempt the year before. We could work together to help him and his mouse be strong, calmer, and happy with a Four Circles plan. Biological, 5-HTP to boost serotonin and calm Jeff's worries. Exercise and smart carbohydrates. Psychological, aunt therapy to correct his negative thinking patterns. Social, family therapy to rally family support. Spiritual, a deep discussion about his sense of meaning and purpose, which had been lacking to that point. After getting this new understanding of his brain, Jeff left my office without a prescription for medical marijuana and a plan to follow this new treatment approach. When I saw him 3 weeks later, he told me he had stopped using marijuana and that the supplements were working to calm his internal mouse. Pathological gambling. Many people enjoy gambling. They feel happy when they win, but discouraged when they lose. And they realize that gambling is a game of chance, like many things in life. Some people, however, become addicted to gambling, and it can ruin every aspect of their lives. Pathological gambling is defined by the American Psychiatric Association as persistent and recurrent maladaptive gambling behavior that disrupts personal, family, or vocational pursuits. Pathological gambling usually starts with an important big win. The high from the win gets stuck in the gambler's head, and he or she begins to chase it, even to the point of self-destruction. Adam came to our office out of desperation. His wife had just left him, and he had seen an attorney to discuss filing bankruptcy. His gambling had gotten out of control. He was a successful entrepreneur who had worked hard at starting his own business. But in the few years before he came to see me, he had begun neglecting his business to spend more of his time at the racetrack and driving back and forth to Reno and Lake Tahoe, Nevada. In our first session, he told me, "I feel compelled to gamble. I know it is ruining my life, but it seems I have to place a bet, or the tension just builds and builds. Before I started losing everything, I knew I could win. It was all I thought about." Adam came from an alcoholic home. Both his father and paternal grandfather were alcoholics. Even though Adam himself had never had a problem with alcohol, he clearly had an addiction. Explaining the ACG system to Adam was helpful. He could identify many people in his family who had problems shifting attention. "You should see our family gatherings," he told me. "Someone is always mad at someone else. People in my family can hold grudges for years and years." The goal of his treatment plan was to help him be strong, calmer, and happy. Biological. 200 milligrams of 5-HTP to boost serotonin, and N-acetylcysteine, 1200 milligrams twice a day, which has been found to be helpful in addictions such as gambling. Exercise and smart carbohydrates. Psychological. Psychotherapy and meditation. Social. Joining Gamblers Anonymous for a supportive and understanding environment. Spiritual, a deep discussion about his sense of meaning and purpose. Eventually, Adam was able to reconnect with his wife and rebuild his business. Compulsive spending. Compulsive shopping is another manifestation of problems in the ACG. Compulsive shoppers get a high from the pursuit and purchase of goods. They spend inordinate amounts of time thinking about shopping activities. This addiction can ruin their financial status and their relationships and have a negative impact on their work. Jill worked as the office manager for a big law firm in San Francisco. Before work, during her lunch hour, and after work, she found herself drawn to the stores at Union Square near her office. She felt a rush of internal excitement as she picked out clothes for herself and her family members. She also enjoyed buying presents for others, even if they were just acquaintances. It was the act of shopping that was important. Even though she knew she shouldn't be spending the money, it felt too good to stop. She and her husband had many fights over the money she spent during her shopping sprees. She began embezzling money from work. Jill took care of the company checkbook and began to write and cash checks to fictitious vendors in order to cover her personal debt. When a business audit almost found her out, she stopped, but her addiction didn't. Her husband finally divorced her when he uncovered credit card debt in the amount of $30,000. Ashamed, scared, and depressed, Jill entered treatment. All her life she had been a worrier. In her teens, she had had an eating disorder, and she had a cousin who had obsessive-compulsive disorder. Her spec study revealed a markedly overactive ACG. When she got locked into a train of thought or behavior, spending, she had real problems shifting away from it. A Four Circles treatment geared to boost serotonin and calm her ACG, was helpful for her as part of the healing process. Oppositional defiant disorder. One of the strongest findings in our research database is increased ACG activity in people who report being oppositional or argumentative. Oppositional defiant disorder is considered a behavioral disorder of children and teenagers who are negative, hostile, defiant, and contrary. They tend to be argumentative, are easily annoyed, and lose their temper often, especially when they do not get their way. These children are chronically uncooperative. They tend to say no, even when saying yes is clearly in their own best interest. The question I ask parents to help me diagnose this disorder is, how many times out of 10, when you ask this child to do something, will he or she do it the first time without arguing or fighting? Most children will comply 7 to 8 times out of 10 without a problem. For most ODD children, the answer is usually 3 or fewer. For many of them, it is 0. David. I first met David when he was 7 years old. He came into my office with his mother. He was wearing typically dirty shoes, and the minute he sat down, he put his feet up on my navy blue leather couch. His mother, embarrassed by his rudeness, took his feet off the couch. He put them back on the couch. She took them off. He put them back on again. Looking angry, she took them off again. Right away, he put them back on, and she took them off. I was watching the cingulate of the mother-son pair in action. David had to have his feet on the couch, mostly because his mother didn't want them on the couch. He also probably wanted to see what would happen if he irritated me. His mother couldn't stand the fact that he wouldn't listen to her, and she had to have his feet off the couch. I knew that many of these problems probably stemmed from an inability to shift attention and the need to hold their own positions. To confirm my suspicions about David, I said 10 innocuous things, such as, the weather is good today, don't you think California is nice, he was from out of state, I like your outfit, and so on. David argued with 8 of the 10 things I said. The weather is awful, I hate California, my mother made me wear this stupid outfit. With an incredulous look on her face, David's mother argued with him. This is beautiful weather. Yesterday you said you wanted to live in California. This is your favorite outfit. Further conversation with his mother suggested we had a generational cingulate problem. When I first suggested a connection between ACG overactivity and oppositional defiant disorder, many of my colleagues did not take me seriously. How could ODD, which is an externalizing behavior disorder, be related to OCD, an internal anxiety disorder? After seeing this pattern over the years, it makes perfect sense to me. These children cannot shift their attention. They get stuck on no, no way, never, you can't make me do it. They often have cingulate parents. Many of them have a family history of OCD or other cingulate problems. One of the most interesting findings among the patients we studied was that mothers or fathers who had obsessive thoughts, compulsive behaviors, or inflexible personality styles tended to have children with ODD. We studied 11 cases that exhibited this parent-child pattern and obtained brain spec studies on both the parent and the child. In 9 of the 11, the parents and the child's brain spec study revealed increased ACG activity. Both a biological explanation and behavioral etiology can be entertained for this finding. One can postulate that the finding of increased ACG activity, biological component, can cause parents to have problems shifting attention and become stuck on thoughts or behaviors that cause them to be inflexible, while the child's inability to shift attention causes his behavior to appear oppositional. It is also possible that the parent's rigid style causes the child to react in an oppositional way, the behavioral part, as a way to gain independence and autonomy, which induces the subsequent speck finding of overactivity in the ACG. As mentioned above, it has been observed that the brain's speck abnormalities in the ACG normalize with effective treatment. This does not appear to be merely variability from test to test, because researchers have shown that without intervening in some way, the brain speck patterns change very little. In the following case of ODD, follow-up data were obtained. Jeremy, age 9, was evaluated for significant oppositional behavior. He had been suspended from school 5 times in second grade for refusing to do what he was told and being openly defiant with his teacher. His parents were told not to bring him back to school until they sought professional help. His clinical evaluation was consistent with the diagnosis of oppositional defiant disorder. His brain speck study revealed marked increased anterior cingulate activity. When he improved only minimally with behavioral interventions, he was placed on treatments to calm his ACG. Within 2 weeks, he showed marked clinical improvement. After 2 months, his brain speck study was repeated and revealed essentially normal anterior cingulate activity. The following year, Jeremy did well in school. In fact, his teacher that year could not understand why his former teachers had warned her about him. Stress often increases activity in the ACG. For many children and teenagers with ODD, I obtained both rest and concentration speck studies. Interestingly, in about half of the cases, I see further increase in the ACG when these patients try to concentrate. Clinically, I find that this correlates with those oppositional children and teens who get worse, more stuck, under pressure, or when they are pushed to comply with certain requests. I have seen this occur frequently on an adolescent treatment unit. Some of these teens would become so stuck that they refused to comply with the staff requests and ended up on restriction because they could not shift their attention in order to behave more appropriately. It can be particularly bad if an ACG teen meets up with an ACG nurse who cannot back off a little to let the situation diffuse. Ken and Lily. Ken's family illustrates the problems an overactive cingulate can cause. His wife and 2 daughters came to his office to pick him up and go out to dinner. His youngest daughter, Lily, smiled when she saw him and gave him a big hug. As they were going to drive in 2 separate cars, Ken said to her, "Come on, Lily, ride with me in my car." Lily had been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and she was often oppositional with Ken. He wanted to spend some extra time with her on the way to the restaurant. As soon as he said, "Come with me," she said, "No, I don't want to." Ken's feelings were a little hurt. He replied, "Come on, Lily, I want to be with you." She said, "No, I'm going with Mommy." Not one to give up easily, Ken physically picked her up and put her in the car. She yelled, screamed, and cried halfway to the restaurant, real quality time. All of a sudden, she stopped crying, dried her eyes, and said, "I'm sorry, Daddy. I really wanted to go with you." When he had pushed Lily to go with him, her brain locked. She got stuck on her first reaction and became unable to think about what she actually wanted to do. Lily's spec study showed increased activity in the ACG. All of Ken's children are grandchildren of alcoholics. I have seen a significant connection between a family history of alcoholism and increased activity in the ACG. Given that children and teens with ODD tend to lock up cognitively when they are pushed to comply, I have found that behavioral techniques such as distractions and giving options are more effective in obtaining compliance. When you give oppositional children, teens, or even adults an option as to when they might do something, they tend to be less likely to get stuck on "no, I won't do it." When they are stuck on a negative thought or behavior, I have found it helpful to distract them for a bit and then come back to the issue at hand later. Ken would have been better at getting Lily to go with him in the car if he had given her a choice rather than just telling her she was going to go with him. Therapy for a family with similar brain spec findings. The following family case study demonstrates how the same brain finding can present itself clinically in different ways. Brain spec studies were obtained on a mother and two of her children, Selena, Samuel, and Lisa. Selena is a 36-year-old woman who had experienced depressive feelings after the birth of her first child, 10 years prior to her evaluation. She suffered from significant irritability, crying spells, sleeplessness, lack of appetite and weight loss, problems concentrating, and difficulty in managing her children. Her condition was brought to a crisis with suicidal behavior when she separated from her husband. She was initially seen by another psychiatrist and started on an antidepressant, which had little effect. After I evaluated her, I started our Four Circles plan, including biological, medication to boost serotonin, psychological psychotherapy, social couples counseling, spiritual, a discussion about meaning and purpose. The plan started to work, but after several months, she decided that she should be stronger than the depression and took herself off the medication. Within several weeks, her depression worsened, but she remained resistant to restarting the antidepressant. In an effort to demonstrate to her that her depression existed, at least in part on a biological level, I ordered a brain spec study, which revealed increased activity in her limbic system, consistent with the underlying depressive disorder, and markedly increased ACG activity. I asked her more pointed questions to see if she had obsessive-compulsive tendencies. Although she denied them in the initial evaluation, she was, in fact, perfectionistic at home and had repetitive negative thoughts. She tearfully remarked, "You mean my husband was right when he thought it was strange that I had to have all the shirts in the drawer buttoned a certain way and put just so in the drawer, or I would become very upset." Selena then reported rituals that her 8-year-old daughter Lisa would perform before entering a new room, such as running a finger under her nose and licking her lips. Lisa also had a locking compulsion. Every time someone left the house, she would be right behind, locking the door. Imagine how irritated her brother and sister were because they could never go out of the house to play without being locked out. I was also seeing Selena's 10-year-old son Samuel for attention deficit disorder and oppositional defiant disorder. Samuel's ADD symptoms did not respond to the typical ADD medications. In fact, they made him worse. Selena reported that once Samuel got a thought in his head, he was unable to let it go. He would follow her around the house for hours, asking her the same questions she had already answered. Samuel was also one of the most negative, hostile children I had ever met. Even though his mother was depressed, he defied her, yelled at his sisters, and seemed to do whatever he could to make the turmoil in the home worse. We did spec studies on both children to see if there might be a genetic component to their problems and/or a similar response to treatment. Interestingly, both of them also showed increased ACG activity. Neither of the children had limbic system findings, nor showed evidence of clinical depression. Based on the SPECT and clinical information, I put all three of them on treatments to calm the ACG. Selena had a dramatically positive response and reported that she was no longer bothered when things weren't just so. The scans had convinced her that her condition was, at least in part, biological and not her fault or the result of a weak will, which encouraged her to stick with treatment for a longer period of time. Samuel had a similarly positive response. His behavior became much less oppositional, and his school performance dramatically improved. He made the honor roll for the first time in his life and was placed in the gifted and talented program the following year. Initially, Lisa refused to comply with treatment, and her ritualistic behaviors continued. Approximately 8 months later, she agreed to start treatment, and her compulsive behaviors diminished. The family dynamics improved significantly after Selena, Samuel, and Lisa were treated with supplements, medication, and psychotherapy. It was clear that the dynamics in this family operated and interacted on many levels. The mother's depression and obsessive thinking contributed to the anxiety and behavior problems in her children, and the cerebral blood flow abnormalities in the children probably added to their difficult behavior, which further stressed the mother. Anterior cingulate system checklist. Here is the anterior cingulate system checklist. Please listen to the list of behaviors and rate yourself or the person you are evaluating on each behavior listed. Use the following scale and place the appropriate number next to the item. 5 or more symptoms, mark 3 or 4, indicate a high likelihood of ACG problems. 0 equals never, 1 equals rarely, 2 equals occasionally, 3 equals frequently, 4 equals very frequently. 1. Excessive or senseless worrying. 2. Being upset when things do not go your way. 3. Being upset when things are out of place. 4. Tendency to be oppositional or argumentative. 5. Tendency to have repetitive negative thoughts. 6. Tendency toward compulsive behaviors. 7. Intense dislike of change. 8. Tendency to hold grudges. 9. Trouble shifting attention from subject to subject. 10. Trouble shifting behavior from task to task. 11. Difficulties seeing options in situations. 12. Tendency to hold on to own opinion and not listen to others. 13. Being very upset unless things are done a certain way. 14. Perception by others that you worry too much. 15. Tendency to say no without first thinking about question. 16. Unhealthy perfectionism. Chapter 13. Getting unstuck. Anterior cingulate gyrus prescriptions. The ACG allows us to shift our attention from thing to thing, idea to idea, and issue to issue. When this part of the brain works too hard, often due to low serotonin levels in the brain, we have a tendency to get locked into negative thoughts or behaviors. We have trouble seeing the options in situations. Optimizing this part of the mind involves training the brain to become more flexible and see options and new ideas. Throughout this book, I have written about the use of supplements and medications in healing the brain. I will do so in this chapter as well. It is important to remember, however, that your day-to-day thoughts and behaviors also have a powerful effect on your brain chemistry. UCLA psychiatrist Jeffrey Schwartz demonstrated through his award-winning research a powerful mind-body lesson. He and other researchers at UCLA used PET scans, similar to SPECT, to study people with OCD and reported findings similar to those presented in this book. Interestingly, when these patients were treated with anti-obsessive medication, the overactive parts of their brains tended to calm down. This was a revolutionary finding. Medications help heal the dysfunctional patterns of the brain. What was more striking, however, was that those patients who were treated without medication through the use of behavior therapy alone also showed normalization in the ACG and basal ganglia. Changing behavior can also change brain patterns. With this in mind, the following four circles ACG prescriptions will help you optimize this part of the brain. Biological, supplements and medications, nutritional interventions, and exercise. Psychological, thought stopping. Notice when you are stuck, distract yourself, and come back to the problem later. Thinking through answers before automatically saying no. Writing out options and solutions when you feel stuck. Social, seeking the counsel of others when you feel stuck, refraining from trying to convince someone else who is stuck, take a break and come back later. Making paradoxical requests when dealing with oppositional children. Spiritual, finding meaning and purpose in your life. Biological ACG prescriptions. Biological. Consider ACG supplements or medications from the Amen Clinics method algorithm. At Amen Clinics, we use the following algorithm when we see high ACG activity plus symptom clusters of worry, obsession, compulsive behaviors, anxiety, and mood issues. Supplements for high ACG plus getting stuck on negative thoughts, worry, obsession, compulsive behaviors, anxiety, oppositional or argumentative, and mood. In our experience, 5-HTP, saffron, inositol, tryptophan, St. John's wort, or omega-3 fatty acids higher in DHA are the most helpful supplements to raise serotonin and calm this part of the brain. Medications for high ACG, plus getting stuck on negative thoughts, most helpful are medications known to increase serotonin in the brain, which include clomipramine, anafrinil, fluoxetine, Prozac, sertraline, Zoloft, paroxetine, Paxil, fluvoxamine, Luvox, citalopram, Celexa, and escitalopram, Lexapro. Medications for high ACG plus psychotic symptoms, risperidone, Risperdal, and olanzapine, Zyprexa. Linda, Linda was 26 years old when she first came to see me. She had been raped violently twice, had been in a physically abusive, intimate relationship, and had experienced the deaths of a great many friends while still a teenager. Her symptoms were depression, anxiety, worrying, and drug use. Her baseline SPECT study showed marked overactivity in the cingulate, problem shifting attention, basal ganglia, anxiety, and limbic areas, depression, and mood dysregulation. After 4 psychotherapy sessions with EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, a specific treatment technique for traumatic events, and 1 month of St. John's wort, 900 milligrams a day, Linda felt significantly better. When we repeated her SPECT study, there was marked normalization of activity in all 3 areas. Even though St. John's wort can be effective, it is not completely without side effects. One of my patients experienced a seriously slowed heart rate. Another patient who had gotten worse on Prozac found that St. John's wort made her worse as well. If you have significant struggles with mood or behavior, I recommend you work closely with a psychiatrist and discuss any herbal treatments with him or her. Biological, nutritional interventions. There are 2 ways that food can increase serotonin levels. Foods high in simple carbohydrates, such as pastas, potatoes, bread, pastries, pretzels, and popcorn, increase insulin levels and allow more tryptophan, the natural amino acid building block for serotonin, to enter the brain, where it is converted to serotonin. The calming effect of serotonin can often be felt in 30 minutes or less by eating these foods. This may be one of the reasons simple carbohydrates are so addictive. They can be used to make you feel happy, but also cause high blood sugar levels that over time are associated with brain atrophy and dementia. I particularly like complex carbohydrates, such as sweet potatoes and garbanzo beans, as a healthier way to boost serotonin. Brain serotonin levels can also be raised by eating foods rich in L-tryptophan, such as chicken, turkey, salmon, beef, nut butter, eggs, and green peas. Many people unknowingly trigger cognitive inflexibility or mood problems by eating diets that are low in L-tryptophan. For example, the high-protein, low-carbohydrate diets that I recommend for low dopamine states related to prefrontal cortex underactivity would generally make ACG problems worse. L-tryptophan is a relatively small amino acid. When you eat a high-protein diet, the larger amino acids compete more successfully to get into the brain, causing lower levels of brain serotonin and more negative emotional reactiveness. Biological. Exercise. Exercise can also be very helpful in calming worries and increasing cognitive flexibility. Exercise works by increasing brain levels of L-tryptophan. As I just mentioned, L-tryptophan is a relatively small amino acid and has trouble competing against the larger amino acids to enter the brain. During exercise, more of the large amino acids are utilized to replenish muscle strength, which causes a decrease in the availability of these larger amino acids in the bloodstream. As such, L-tryptophan can compete more effectively to enter the brain and raise brain serotonin levels. In addition, exercise increases your energy levels and may distract you from the bad thoughts that tend to loop around in your mind. I often recommend exercise for oppositional children as a way to improve their L-tryptophan levels and increase cooperation. Many people, especially elite athletes, unknowingly use intense exercise as a way to manage low serotonin levels. It just makes them feel normal and clears the low moods and cobwebs from their brains. When someone who does this gets hurt and cannot exercise, they can experience a significant depression associated with worry and negativity. At those times, I find it really helpful to then work on their diet and supplementation to help rebalance their brains and moods. Psychological ACG prescriptions. Psychological, thought stopping. Whenever you notice thoughts looping or getting stuck in your head, imagine seeing a traffic stop sign in your head and silently say to yourself, "Stop, this is my ACG getting stuck." For some people, the more they actively stop these thoughts, the more control they develop over them. Some of my patients have had success wearing a rubber band around their wrist and snapping it when they notice thoughts starting to loop. Psychological. Notice when you're stuck, distract yourself, and come back to the problem later. A primary way to overcome a busy ACG is to notice when you're stuck on a thought and do something to distract yourself. Becoming aware of circular or looping thoughts is essential to gaining control over them. Get up and do something else. Distraction is often a very helpful technique. Here's an example. Maury, age 32, came to see me for chronic tension. He incessantly worried about his job. Despite getting good performance reviews, he felt that his boss didn't like him. The constant worry frequently upset him. He couldn't get these thoughts out of his head. Over and over they went. He complained of headaches, tension, and irritability at home. No amount of rational discussion helped. I gave him the task of writing down the times he was stuck on these negative thoughts about work. They occurred every several hours. Learning the ant therapy exercises were helpful for him, but didn't completely prevent these thoughts from circling around in his head. His homework was to have a distraction. Every time one of these thoughts came into his mind, I told him he had to sing a song. He picked out several songs he liked and rotated through them whenever the thoughts started to bother him. This worked for him. He liked the music, and he felt that it gave him a measure of control over his bothersome thoughts. Some of my ACG patients find it helpful to make a list of all the things they can do to distract themselves when they get harassing thoughts. Here are some examples. Sing a favorite song. Listen to music that makes you feel positive. Take a walk. Do a chore. Play with a pet. Do structured meditation. Focus on a word and do not allow any other thoughts to enter your mind. Imagine a broom that sweeps out all other thoughts. If you actively distract yourself from repetitive thoughts or block them, over time they will lose their control over you. Psychological. Think through answers before automatically saying no. As mentioned, many ACG people have an automatic tendency to say no. Fight the tendency. Before answering questions or responding to requests in a negative way, take a breath and think first whether or not it is best to say no. Often, it is helpful to take a deep breath, hold it for 3 seconds, and then take 5 seconds to exhale, just to get extra time before responding. For example, if your spouse asks you to come to bed and make love, take a deep breath before responding that you're tired, sick, too busy, or not in the mood. During the deep breath, ask yourself whether you really want to deny your partner. Is it in your best interest to say no and continue doing what you're doing? Or is it in your best interest to get close to your partner? The automatic no has ruined many relationships. Take enough time to ask yourself if saying no is really what you want to say. Psychological. Write out options and solutions when you feel stuck. When you are stuck on a thought, it is often helpful to write it down. Writing it down helps to get it out of your head. Seeing a thought on paper makes it easier to deal with in a rational way. When repetitive thoughts interfere with sleep, keep a pen and paper near your bed to write them out. After you write out a thought that has gotten stuck, generate a list of things you can do about it and things you can't do about it. For example, if you're worried about a situation at work, such as whether you'll get a promotion, do the following. 1. Write out the thought. I'm worried about whether or not I'll get the promotion at work. 2. Make a list of the things you can do to offset the worry. I will do the best job I can at work. I will continue to be reliable, hardworking, and creative. I will make sure the boss knows I desire the promotion. In a confident, not bragging way, I will make sure the boss knows about my contributions to the company. 3. Make a list of the things you cannot do about the worry. I cannot make the decision for the boss. I cannot want the promotion any more than I do. I cannot will the promotion to happen. Worrying will not help. I cannot make the promotion happen, although I do have lots of influence on the process by my attitude and performance. Use this simple exercise to unlock the thoughts that keep you up at night. Social ACG prescriptions. Social. Seek the counsel of others when you feel stuck. When all of your efforts to get rid of repetitive thoughts are unsuccessful, it is often helpful to seek the counsel of others. Finding someone to discuss the worries, fears, or repetitive behaviors with can be very helpful. Often, just talking about feeling stuck will open new options. Through the years, I have used mentors to help me through some of the problems I've had to face. Others can be a sounding board, helping you see options and offering reality checks. Several years after I started performing spec studies on my patients, I was professionally attacked by some of the researchers in the field, which caused me a lot of anxiety and sleepless nights. I sought the advice of a close friend who had seen the development of my work and who had referred to me many patients who had benefited from this technology. When I told him about the attack on my work, he smiled. He wondered why I had expected anything different. He said, "People who say things that differ from the norm used to get burned at the stake. The more controversial an issue is, the more of a nerve you're striking in the established community." When he said, "What else would you expect?" it suggested a new way to interpret what had happened. I could look differently at the behavior of these other researchers. In fact, one of the most vocal detractors of my work, who told 2020 I should be arrested, published research findings recently about how using brain imaging alone can help clinicians make psychiatric diagnoses. When you're stuck, allow others to help you with the unsticking process. Social. Don't try to convince someone else who is stuck. Take a break and come back later. If you're locked in the middle of an argument with someone who's stuck, take a break. Take 10 minutes, take 10 hours, take 10 days. If you distract yourself from a lose-lose situation, you're often able to come back later and work it out. I learned long ago not to try to argue with people who have ACG issues. When another person is stuck on a thought or behavior, logical reasoning usually won't work. One of the best techniques I've found to deal with those who get stuck is as follows. I will briefly make the point I want to make. If I can tell the other person is getting locked into his or her position, I try to change the subject and distract him or her from the topic. Distraction allows time for the other person's subconscious mind to process what I said without having to lock in on it or fight it. Often, when we come back to the issue, the other person has a more open mind to the situation. Here's an example. Jackie came to see me about marital problems. Her husband traveled and was unable to attend many of the sessions. In the individual sessions, I saw that Jackie frequently became locked into her position and left little room for alternative explanations of behavior. Her husband said that she would go on and on for hours and not listen to anything he said. As I realized this was her pattern, I used the brief attack and retreat model I described. When she complained about her husband not paying attention to her, I wondered out loud if it wasn't because he felt she didn't listen to his opinion. Immediately, she said I was wrong. She said that she was a very good listener. I didn't argue with her, but went on to something else for a while. The next session, Jackie talked about listening more to her husband. Her subconscious was able to hear what I said as long as I didn't activate her getting locked into opposing me. This is often a very helpful technique to use with teenagers. Many teens argue and oppose their parents as part of the natural individuation and separation process. I teach parents to get out of struggles with their teenagers by briefly making their points and moving on to other topics. For important issues, come back to them at later times. One of the best marital suggestions I give couples is to go to the bathroom when things start to get upsetting. When you can see that your partner is beginning to get into ACG mode and is starting to go over the same point again and again, excuse yourself and say you have to go to the bathroom. Few people will argue with you when nature calls, and it is often helpful just to take a break. If the ACG issue in the other person seems particularly strong, take a big book with you and settle in for a lengthier stay. Social, paradoxical requests. Have you ever heard of reverse psychology? It works with ACG folks.